It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
And welcome to the 2024 Rent-A-Transfer Final Fours. Hopefully you've been enjoying this year's men's and women's NCAA March Madness college basketball tournaments as much as I have. The terrific mix of talent, great coaching, and let's be honest, some exceptionally fortunate timing, and yes, I'm talking to you, NC State men, have made for a very exciting 2 weeks of college basketball. By the way, my Swamp Swami sports picks on CBSSports.com have been both bad and pretty good. My men's predictions, which had the University of Houston winning it all, well, they've ranked me at an embarrassing number 1,460,280. I have no idea how many people entered, but that's really, really bad. My women's predictions, though, have been excellent. Heading into this Friday night's women's Final Four, I am ranked number 3,554. Somehow, though, I still have all four teams alive in the Final Four, with UConn as my predicted champion. How many players on the Final Four teams this year, though, are transfers from another school? That's today's topic. While enjoying the action on television, I couldn't help but notice a significant trend with the majority of the top men's and women's college teams. A text I received last weekend from a friend also noted the same thing, and he suggested that I needed to do a little research on this subject. And I have. For the past 2 weeks of March Madness basketball action, the television announcers have continued to note for us that a particular player had transferred after playing basketball for one or more years at another university. With the advent of the NCAA's recent changes involving the transfer portal and the ability to earn significant bonus bucks via the new Name, Image, and Likeness, or NIL, cash promotion money machine, several teams in this weekend's Final Four will feature more transfer players seeing playing time than those who initially were recruited by the program after they came out of high school. Let's give you some examples. The biggest one, and I mean biggest, is DJ Burns and most of the NC State Wolfpack men's basketball team. The darlings of this year's March Madness men's tournament have been North Carolina State University. The number 11-seeded Wolfpack men's basketball team had to win 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament just to get into the NCAA field. And now they've added 4 more consecutive wins in the NCAA tournament and have reached the Final Four this Saturday. NC State also features 7 of its top 8 men's players who began playing their college basketball at another university prior to coming to Raleigh, North Carolina. The only non-transfer player in the regular rotation for NC State, which I define as someone who plays 15 minutes or more per game, is freshman guard Dennis Parker Jr. The other 7 top players for the Wolfpack are all transfer students from another university. Now, my personal favorite March Madness player happens to be big man DJ Burns of NC State. Woo! He started in college at Tennessee, but then he redshirted and did not play a game at Knoxville for his first year. He quickly transferred to Winthrop University, which is located in Rock Hill, South Carolina, by the way, to play college basketball for the next 3 seasons. DJ Burns still had 2 years of eligibility left, though, as he transferred to Raleigh to come play for North Carolina State. Who left that NC State team, though, to make room for these incoming transfer players? That's a good question and one I wanted to explore. Now, a dirty little secret about college athletics is that the scholarship awarded to each player is subject to being renewed or discontinued by the coaching staff after every season. Did you know that? Let's say that our theoretical high school phenom named, we'll call him Stevie Slam Dunk, signed a full scholarship to go play basketball and attend large state university. After a glorious signing ceremony held at his high school, Stevie strutted into college and quickly learned that he's now competing with many other top recruits and highly touted transfers. He's got to compete hard just to earn any playing time. And at the end of the season, there's no guarantee that his much-celebrated scholarship is going to be renewed for a second year. With the recent advent of the NCAA's transfer portal, though, that process is now working both ways. As soon as this year's basketball season ended for a college athlete, the player can now say, "I want out of here," and enter the NCAA's transfer portal. Now, this new rule allows the athletes to move to another school in the next semester instead of having to sit out a full year after transferring, as had been in the past. If another school wants to sign an eligible transfer player, a mutually agreeable deal is then negotiated. In today's environment, that deal likely involves a healthy amount of this NIL money for the player doing future work in commercials or endorsements or personal appearances. But the player's former coach and team are now allowed to move into the action as well. Old Stevie Slam Dunk must notify his current school that he's entering that NCAA transfer portal, and the coaching staff at Large State University now begins their own search for other talented players willing to transfer into their program, if the price is right. As each college round ball season comes to an end, a growing number of players are now waving their hands up in the air via the NCAA's transfer portal, that is, to announce their availability to overtures from another school. This new form of musical chairs is at least helping one industry, the moving van business.
Yes!
Well, what happened to all those former players at NC State on last year's roster? That's what we looked into. The North Carolina State Wolfpack men's basketball team for the 2022-23 season had three players, including a walk-on senior, who completed their college eligibility last year. Then, another four college basketball players from last year's NC State team transferred out to another school. That was Jack Clark, a 6'8" guard. He transferred to Clemson this year, averaging 4.7 points a game. Ebenezer Duwona, a 6'11" forward, landed at Georgia Tech. He scored a whopping 1 point per game this year. Greg Gant, a 6'8" forward from North Carolina State, he transferred to UNC Asheville, where he averaged 1.8 points per game. And Isaiah Miranda, a 7'1" center, moved to the West to Oklahoma State University. However, he only played in three games for the Cowboys this year, averaging 2.7 points a game, and he quit the team to, quote, focus on his professional career. Well, if you're 7'1", he's probably not thinking about doing accounting work.
Not so fast!
Another player who vanished from the NC State squad in 2022-23 had higher expectations than the others. Terquavion Smith, a 6'4" shooting guard, averaged 18 points a game during his sophomore year last year for the North Carolina State Wolfpack. He entered the 2023 NBA draft and was not selected. Smith, though, eventually did sign a free agent agreement allowing him to play for the Delaware Bluecoats of the NBA's developmental G League. And he's done well, averaging 22 points a game with Delaware. He was recently promoted to the NBA's affiliate, the Philadelphia 76ers. So in summary, eight former North Carolina State players from last year's 2022-23 squad have either completed their college eligibility or transferred to another university or are now trying professional basketball. And those eight roster spots were filled this season with a variety of transfer players and a couple of incoming freshmen. If you want to see the other end of the spectrum, there's one team in the women's Final Four with zero transfers among its top players. Yes, we can meet the 33-5 UConn Huskies women's basketball team. Led by their 70-year-old Hall of Fame coach Gino Auriemma, the top eight UConn women's basketball players, which I define as averaging more than 15 minutes of playing time per game, were all high school recruits initially signed by the Huskies, and they've stayed together at UConn ever since arriving on campus. Led by their All-American guard Paige Beckers, the Big East champion Huskies are peaking at the right time at the end of this season. The UConn women defeated number 1 seed USC on Monday night to advance into the NCAA Women's Final Four event this coming weekend in Cleveland, Ohio. In Friday night's 8 p.m. nightcap semifinal game on ESPN, UConn is going to face the 33-4 Iowa Hawkeyes and women's all-time scoring champion Caitlin Clark. To reach the Final Four, Iowa outscored the defending champions LSU Tigers on Monday night, 94-87, and earned their trip to Cleveland. By the way, the Iowa top five players in their rotation, including Caitlin Clark, all joined the team as freshmen and have stayed with the school. So let's count the transfers by team in the women's and men's Final Four games coming up this week. On Friday night, ESPN is going to present the NCAA Women's Final Four in Cleveland, and the women's field will include only 8 of the top 30 players, or 26.7%, are transfers. In the 6 p.m. first national semifinal game, the 36-0 South Carolina Gamecocks, who have just two transfer players among its top nine, will face 31-6 North Carolina State. Yeah, their women made it too, and they have four of the six top players as transfers. Then in Friday night's second semifinal women's game at 8:30 p.m., the 33-4 Iowa Hawkeyes, with only two of their top seven players as transfers, will play 33-5 UConn, who, as we said earlier, had no transfer players among its top eight this year. The women's national championship game will be played on Sunday afternoon, April 7th at 2 p.m. Central. That game's going to be shown both on ABC and ESPN. This coming Saturday night in Phoenix, the men are going to take the stage on TBS with its doubleheader of NCAA Final Four games. The men's field is going to show, are you ready, an incredible 57.1% or 16 out of 28 of its key players as transfers coming from other schools. In Saturday's 5 p.m. Central men's opening semifinal, the 33-4 Purdue Boilermakers, who have only one transfer among their top six players, is going to play the surprising 26-11 North Carolina State Wolfpack, which features seven of their top eight players as transfers. Then the Saturday night nightcap at 8:30 p.m. will find top-seeded 35-3 UConn, which has three of its top seven players as transfers, tackling 25-11 Alabama, which has five of its top seven players coming to Tuscaloosa as transfers. The men's championship game is going to be played Monday night, April 8th, and the tip-off is at a very unfriendly-for-your-school kids time of 8:20 p.m. Central Time on TBS. Regardless, enjoy all the games this weekend and best of luck. I'm Swamp Swami.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.